Welcome back. Today we are watching a Peptides for Dummy video from Andrew Hiller, who I consider basically the more plates, more dates of the CrossFit world. So maybe he'll teach us some about peptides, and maybe we will teach you some about peptides as well, because at the end of the day, they are just medications.
Yeah, let's see what he has to say.
You ever heard of Hyphy Mud? It's like prison pre-workout. You mix coffee beans and Coca-Cola and you drink it. Yo, my name is Andrew Hiller, and I am the foremost leading expert in the CrossFit space on performance-enhancing drugs. You may have seen my name on the sanctioned list. That list is actually getting really small, and for those of you who are not all that informed, remember, being a small list does not mean that everybody is clean now. The sport of CrossFit is clean. It means that either CrossFit is testing less, the CrossFit testing is getting worse, they're spending less money on it, or the athletes are getting more intelligent, or all of the above. It does not mean that everybody is clean. And also, I am the only one ever, basically on any list that I've ever seen, to be on one of these lists for admitting use of a performance-enhancing drug. I'm the only one who's ever been on it for having taking testosterone, because they're never going to find anybody who's ever taken testosterone, but I'm also on there for having admitted use of some peptides.
Oh, well.
And that's what we're talking about today. Got 10 peptides for you. I'm going to tell you kind of what they're used for, how much of them to use. I am not a doctor. I am the foremost leading expert in the CrossFit space, but that's basically because I have no competition.
That's how winning is done.
So I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm going to tell you what they do. I'm going to tell you kind of how much you should take. And then I'm also going to, at the end of it, tell you how you should think about taking them. And there's a link in the description with both a link to the site where I get all these things. I'm sponsored by CA Peptides. If you use code Hiller at checkout, you are going to get free shipping. But right next to that link in the description, where
research chemicals, not for human use, I presume.
Correct. He's talking about people giving them to their lab rat.
That also do CrossFit.
Yeah, this is basically moonshine. This is what happens when high quality compounding pharmacies stop making things that are of typical use, that are becoming standard of care. Then a secondary market develops, and this ensues where people tell you about how much to give your lab rat. That being said, hilarious introduction, and I love how open and honest he is. Kind of reminds me of Derek.
So is he using testosterone during CrossFit competition times? Is that the list that he's on? I'm not sure I understand.
I believe CrossFit banned him from competition just because he is open and honest about his use of things like testosterone and BPC-157, like we are as well. Mm-hmm. He's just more popular. So CrossFit has not banned me from doing CrossFit competitions yet. Hopefully they don't, but they have banned him. They didn't let him do the CrossFit Open. And as people can look up, I did do one of the CrossFit Open workouts, burpees, one of my specialties, at my huge body size.
Is there an asterisk next to your name?
Because I'm so tall and heavy.
Yeah.
No, there's not.
We'll bring you to CAPeptides.com where you can use my name at checkout. There's going to be a peptide calculator for a reconstitution. Remember, they're all for research purposes. And when you are doing your research on your lab rat, this thing will make it much more simple for you guys to figure out how much you should be using with the information we're going to talk about starting right here, right now with BPC-157. You've heard about it before. You're going to hear about it again. It's the best. It's the most commonly used peptide in the business. You can take it orally, but that's not what we're going to be doing right here. You're going to be taking it subcutaneously, which means that you're going to pick up a little bit of your skin. You're going to shoot it into the fat. Most of these are best done kind of to the right or to the left of your belly button by an inch or two or so, and you shoot it into the fat in your stomach. But when it comes to BPC-157, you can shoot it in the local site. So if you have a shoulder injury, you can shoot it in there. When I was at the West Coast Classic, I cannot tell you how many people I had at the ages of 30, 40, 50, 60 coming up to me and going, Andrew, the BPC-157, my shoulders hurt for years, and now it's fixed. And I go, yeah, this stuff works. I've used it, and it worked. When I had my elbow freaking thing go off, I used BPC-157 in my elbow. I shot it in like the forearm muscle right there, and it helped. Into the muscle with the BPC-157. Every other one of them, I'd recommend you shoot it subcutaneously into the fat by your stomach. But with that one in particular, you can do site injections in your lab rat. You can give your lab rat site injections. BPC, I think, has got the...
This is interesting. Yeah, it mentions the injectable form, which is no longer being compounded.
We've both prescribed a decent amount of the injectable form in the past, as it has very similar risks and benefits to PRP.
Yeah, but now the oral doesn't have the potential benefit of site injection, but it does still go systemic, should still help Correct. Things to a similar degree, and is essentially over-the-counter now, because that's what the FDA unintentionally created by banning the injectable version.
I would recommend not getting over-the-counter BPC-157 capsules at any research chemical site. I would get it from a very reputable compounding pharmacy that makes it at, getting their raws from an FDA-inspected facility. Mm-hmm. I believe Strive is one of them. I don't think, we don't get anything. We're not sponsored by them in any way, shape, or form. We unfortunately don't have a code or any podcast sponsors. This is our list of them. But we'll leave a link below if we can find one.
All right. 5,000 to 1,000 micrograms daily. It does not mention a duration. Maybe he'll tell us how many weeks or years
ideally, he no thinks more than about a
mice
month.
Should be taking.
Certainly not all the time.
Body protecting compound BPC. It's called by Ben Greenfield the Wolverine drug. You turn into a mutant from X-Men. It helps your muscles, your tendons, your ligaments all fix themselves up, and they do so at a rate which is going to help you recover in, I don't know, like 2/3 of the amount of time. The recommended dosage are 500 to 1,000 micrograms, which are not milligrams. When you go onto the website, you're going to see that there is a milligram thing. And I think on CFpeptides.com, they sell them in 10 milligram vials, which is not a microgram. I believe that is 10,000 micrograms. So when you go into the little calculator and you see that I said, hey, you're going to want 500 to 1,000 micrograms, you can all of a sudden start figuring out how many shots you're going to get to that. The range of 500 to 1,000, I always start at the bottom. And if it works for you, great. It works for you. You don't have to use as much. You don't have to spend as much money, and that's great. But also, it has to do with the person. So if you're a 100-pound female rat, you should be using less than a 250-pound male rat. But generally, every rat should start towards the lesser end of the spectrum here. But 500, when you go to the calculator, it's like, hey, I've got a 10-milligram vial, and then I want to put 3 milliliters of bacteriostatic water in there. And it said use 500, so I'm going to pull the little insulin syringe up to 15, or 1.5, depending on what the increments of measurement are on your insulin syringe. And all of that will apply to every single thing here. If you click around on this chart, you put in 5 milliliters of water. It doesn't matter how many milliliters. You can put in 1 milliliter of water. It's all a math equation. If you weren't good at math, this is probably going to be very hard for you to understand. But it's like the LMNT salt packets. It's like if you don't want it to be so salty, then you put more water in there or less salt. If you want the peptide to be more potent, then you don't put as much water in there. But I'm telling you how potent you want it to be, and this is how you reconstitute the stuff to make it as potent as you need to be. And that's everything about BPC-157. Next one's called TB-500, which they do very similar things. Usually when people use one or they use the other, they want to accomplish a similar goal. So there is also a combo TB-500 BPC-157 on CAPeptides.com, as there would be kind of anywhere, because it's kind of common to have them bunched. But you use a similar dosage of 500 to 1,000 micrograms. This one's kind of more specific to muscle.
Yeah, dosages are on the higher end, a little bit more aggressive than you may need for clinical use. I guess if you're pushing vectors in CrossFit, then you would push doses as well, but with the potential of higher risk for adverse effects.
Yeah, and we should say that these dosing parameters, although they have been studied in humans, which is clinical study, these dosages come from preclinical study, which is animal study, which is daily for the BPC-157, which does appear to be better if it's daily. But TB-500 and its cousin, thymosin beta-4, do not appear to be better. So it's interesting that this says daily, but they are often mixed together, and they both would likely grow tumor cells, because if you give someone a medication the opposite of that, like Avastin, then it will help shrink tumors.
Yeah, the TB is usually more of a bolus dosing, twice per week, something like that is usually what we would tend to prescribe, and it comes from the preclinical studies. They used more of a bolus versus a continuous feeding.
Regeneration, where the other one was kind of joint, tendon, ligament. This one kind of thinks, oh, you kind of tore a muscle, now we're going to help recover that thing. But when you use together, best of both worlds. So you got an injury, you go for either one of those, or you take the combo of the BPC-157, TB-500. Next on the list, we've got CJC-1295. You're going to see that there's two different ones here. One with that.
Well, maybe if you got an injury, you figure out where your form was off, and then you work with a physical therapist to make sure that you don't just heal up and then get hurt the same way again.
Yeah. Physical injuries are no different than an organ injury. The lifestyle changes that help heal and prevent that injury are going to have a bigger effect than any peptide that you take. Same for fat loss. So whether it's organ healing or fat loss, figure out what lifestyle change to make. We've talked about CJC-1295. We'll try to find the link to the study that we talked about. That was the phase 2 clinical trial that it failed because there was a death in the trial. And how there is better options, mostly brand name Egrifta, if you can get it, which is tesamorelin.
This is probably one of the more diabetogenic growth hormone releasing peptides.
Too long of half-life.
But look, this one is dosed twice per week, accounting for the long half-life.
And one without DEC. And you're probably thinking, what is DEC? And the thing I'm going to tell you is it doesn't really matter what DEC is. It is the drug affinity complex. But what this compound does, this peptide does, that being CJC-1295, is it's going to help you boost your growth hormone. It does so through the pituitary gland. If you were to take the one without DEC, you do it every single day. And that one's actually going to be better, in my opinion, for your rat. It's better for your rat. That's because generally when you're producing growth hormone, you do so every single night. You take the CJC-1295 before you go to bed. Ideally, you do so kind of on an empty stomach. That's going to help you sleep better. It's going to increase your bone density. It gives you a little bit of an immunity boost. It helps you increase your lean muscle mass. And I'm telling you all of this stuff, and now we're going to get to the one with deck. The one with deck basically makes you allowed to use it less frequently, but I don't really think that you should do that, because you're supposed to do it every night. You're supposed to have a growth hormone response every single night, and if you're going to use the peptide, and you're going to be doing the whole thing anyway. The reason deck, from what I can figure out, has been implemented is for people who are too lazy to do it every single day. They're like, oh, I only got to do this twice a week. The deck slows it down so that you got to do it like Monday and Thursday, and if that's something that you want, you can get the one with deck in it on Monday and on Thursday or whatever, twice a week. But I think that your rat would be better suited doing the one that does it every single day. And yeah, I'm on the banned list for having admitted use of that thing, as well as this next one, which is called epamorelin. Epamorelin is a growth hormone secreted guy. It is a ghrelin modulator. Ghrelin as a hormone is going to make you hungrier, and I noticed that a little bit. So if you're looking to gain weight, epamorelin might be your go-to here. Wait a minute. My rat wanted to gain weight. The rat gained weight. But the other thing that it does, it's very much like the SARM MK677, where it's going to make you hungrier, maybe hold on.
The SARM MK677.
MK677, also known as ibutamorin, also known as LUM-201, is just another ghrelin agonist. It does not bind the androgen receptor at all that I know of.
Yeah, it's a growth hormone secretagogue, but it does get thrown into the category of SARMs, probably because it's in the same section on the research chemical websites. Ibutamorelin did have a phase 2 trial for paralytic bowel, of all things. Figure if you stimulate the ghrelin receptor, stimulate hunger, stimulate a bit of gastric motility. But it did not meet its clinical endpoint. That doesn't mean that it doesn't stimulate gastric motility and cause hunger and increase growth hormone and all these things. It just didn't serve the purpose the pharmaceutical company was seeking.
There are several case studies published of humans taking ghrelin agonists and developing a reversible diabetic state, which is similar to gestational diabetes. It's just that it's the ghrelin agonist and not human placental lactogen driving the temporary diabetic state.
Now, is it the actual binding to the ghrelin, or is it the circulating free fatty acids from the growth hormone?
That's what it is.
A bit of both?
Yeah, probably both, but more so the latter.
To a little bit of water, but you are going to get bigger, stronger as a result of all of those things. You're going to be able to easily increase your caloric intake based on that ghrelin response. 200 to 600 micrograms a day is what you're going to be looking to give your rat on this one. Remember, smaller rats get less, bigger rats get more. Always start with the smaller dose depending on whatever rat you got. But both CJC1295 and epamorelin are on the growth hormone end of the spectrum, like BPC157 and TB500 were on the recovery side of the spectrum. And when you think about growth hormone, you think about bigger, stronger, faster, and recovery aspects of it. Not recovery on the site or in specific muscle groups, but like a full body recovery response. The CJC1295 and the epamorelin, probably the most commonly used in the performance enhancing aspect of everything. Next up, we got AOD9604, a little bit newer, 200 to 400 micrograms a day. This is a fat loss peptide. It works very differently than the peptide tirzepatide does. Tirzepatide is like the nuclear warhead that you drop on somebody who needs to lose a whole bunch of weight. AOD9604 is going to be the one where you got to kind of finish yourself off. You're at, I don't know, 15% body fat and you want to get to 12, or you're at 12 and you want to get to 10, or you're at 8 and you want to get to 6. You want to get a little bit leaner, you take the AOD9604. If you want to lose a whole bunch of weight, it's the appetite suppressant tirzepatide. You're rat. The rat wants to lose a whole bunch of weight. The rat wants to get shredded to the bone at the last minute to take AOD9604. When it comes to the AOD, it's 200 to 400. When you talk about the tirzepatide, it is a one time per week shot. The tirzepatide needs to be kind of titrated up. Weeks 1 through 4, you're going to take a smaller dose than you would.
I think that's actually lower than the clinical dosing was used for the AOD9604, which was a failed obesity drug.
Yep.
People did lose weight on it. It didn't induce insulin resistance like growth hormone can. It's basically the good part of growth hormone. But it wasn't effective enough to be marketed and approved like something like tirzepatide or semaglutide, which are also peptides. So he actually correctly identified tirzepatide as a peptide, which a lot of people would not consider to be a peptide since it's now an FDA-approved drug.
Yeah, even though the P in GLP-1 is peptide.
Yeah.
AOD9604, also known as growth hormone fragment or GHFRAG, I think was or is, it's still just as promising. And it's sad to see that it hasn't come to fruition in terms of a brand name product. I think that it should. Particle size matters for topicals and for that last little bit of aesthetic fat, because presumably when you're going from 15% to 12%, that's probably not for performance enhancing benefit. It's probably for aesthetic benefit in most cases. There's obviously exceptions to everything. People are typing in the comments as we speak, but the topical AOD9604, especially with combined with other things like aminophylline, seemed to work extremely well. And the injectable also had good clinical promise. However, again, like BPC-157, this is another moonshine prohibition type situation where things are dropping off. I believe I mentioned this in one podcast, which was actually never posted because of too much good technical terminology. I won't say anything else other than that. But I mentioned that a lot of these are going to go away from the reputable good compounding pharmacies that use FDA-inspected facilities that brand name drug companies also use. And some of these individuals say, well, you know, we know compounding pharmacists, so we will always be able to get these peptides.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think with, I use tirzepatide as an example, I feel like, I don't have any data to support this, but I feel like there may be a pivot in the pharmaceutical industry towards chasing not what do we think we can make a lot of money from reimbursement from drug or from insurance companies on, but what can we make that people are willing to pay for and we can turn a high volume profit, not necessarily a high profit margin, but in terms of numbers, like if everyone wants X drug, like AOD9604, of course, some people are going to have bad side effects.
Yeah.
Some people are going to have extremely good results. Some people are not going to notice anything. There's non-responders to every medication out there, essentially. So it'd be interesting to see if that sort of gets revived at some point and marketed for a cosmetic purpose. I wouldn't be surprised. You have Kybella, for example.
Yes.
A local fat loss inducing agent that sort of dissolves the fat cells. It's purely cosmetic, extremely pricey. I don't see a reason that AOD9604 can't be approved for the same indication, perhaps not spot reduction, maybe spot reduction. Maybe they need to do the trials.
Yeah. Hopefully that is the case in the future. And maybe at some point we have enough time to where we can also do those trials in addition to what we have on the table.
On weeks 5 through 8 than you would on weeks 9 through 12 and the whole deal on the way up. And you really shouldn't be doing the tirzepatide for anything longer than 4 months at a time. And the reason you got to titrate that thing up is because unlike most or maybe almost all of the peptides, if you take too much too soon, it's going to make you feel sick. It does make your appetite go down. If you kind of take way too much too soon, you're going to be feeling that. But we're looking at tirzepatide, you're going to start with 1,000 micrograms one time. Week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, and week 5. If you've been completely okay and maybe you're not noticing any sort of the effects of the appetite suppressing nature, then you're going to bump it up a little bit. Give yourself 1,500 micrograms and then 2,000 micrograms on weeks 9 through 12. I know people who have used this and everyone's want to say, oh, it's the same as Wegovy or semaglutide. And while you're right, yes, everybody should just be eating better and everybody should just kind of control what they're putting into their mouths. I've seen it work in real time where now this person has done the 4 month cycle of tirzepatide. Person rat has done a 4 month cycle of tirzepatide. And what comes out the other end is a newfound respect for what food is. Oh, I only need this much. It's something they would have never had ever understood no matter how much I want to try to beat into their brains until they tried the peptide itself. You're telling me I don't need to eat this much at each meal? Like, yeah, I've been telling you the whole time. Well, now I've experienced it. I saw that I lost weight. Not me, but the rat we're talking about. So it does work. And AOD does too. I got a vial of that inside right now. AOD. Let's get shredded. The next two on the list I have used. My rat has used. GHKCU is known to be a collagen pump. You take 500 micrograms to 2,000 micrograms. You do so every single day. I think the vial you get on capeptides.com comes in like 50 milligrams. So yeah, you can figure it out on the peptide calculator how much you need to take 2,000 micrograms in a day. But remember, start at 500. See how it's going. Make sure you can handle it. Make sure that it doesn't make you sick. These ones shouldn't. There should be zero ill side effects, unlike the potential ones that come from the tirzepatide. But I took this in particular when it came to hair. It seemed to help. I know a whole bunch of people who have used it for better skin effects, similar to the way that maybe they would use a growth hormone from above, but it's copper-based peptide, so you can't really run that one for too long. You only do that one for 12 weeks, and then you got to move on with your life. Like 12 weeks on, the remainder of the year off. One time a year on that one. The next one I use is melanotan 2. Everyone thinks, oh, easy.
Yeah. Ideally, there would be, and I think we've talked about this before, a test. You could measure your serum or intracellular GHK copper. Yeah, GHK levels, but despite some data showing like, oh, it's at this level and then it drops to 70% of that by the time you're in your 70s, something of that nature, I can't seem to find where that original data came from. And there's no commercial level available. So I suspect people who are sort of hyper responders to that are that because they have a lower baseline level and they're restoring it back to a normal. And copper toxicity is pretty unlikely with this one.
Quite rare. It probably lowers serum or in total body stores of copper less than any sort of hormonal contraceptive or copper-based contraceptive.
Yeah, and this is in a lot of over-the-counter cosmetics as well and various facial creams and so forth.
Works quite well.
easy. It makes you tan, but it also makes you horny as hell. It's weird. It's great. It's cool. Your skin gets darker and you're ready to go at any point in the day. I thought like I hadn't been considering. The other thing that I've had needed to use for is testosterone. So when you take the testosterone, which is supposed to increase your libido, and then you take the melanotan 2, which in theory is just supposed to increase the melanin in your skin, makes you appear darker. If you go into the sun, it like 10x is the speed at which you're going to get tan. And it does so rather quickly when you take the 350 to 500 micrograms, which is the daily recommended dose of it. And it's worth noting. And some people can get the double boost of it. It's like you're tan and you're horny and it's great. And the final one, PT141, 500 to 2000 micrograms.
This is also a tanning drug. It's a bonus effect or a side effect, depending on how you look at it. Hyperpigmentation is a common side effect in the trials with PT141. I'm a little bit hesitant with the melanocortin system, especially the dosages listed for melanotan 2 there. But I could be wrong. There's a couple case reports of it sort of unmasking. Maybe they use the word causing. I don't think we can say that yet. But unmasking of a melanoma, somebody has it, more melanin, you're probably going to grow that thing.
I believe those cases are all with melanotan 1 and 2, but not with melanotan 3 or 4 yet, which are bremelanotide and setmelanotide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's any case reports with the newer agents because they have less of that pigment-inducing.
Mechanistically, it still makes sense, though, because all four melanotans can cause hyperpigmentation.
Yeah, so I guess in screening an ideal candidate for this, you would sort of look at their pack years of UV sun exposure. So if it's a farmer, never worn sunscreen, worked out 10 hours a day in the sun, they're probably a worse candidate for that.
Especially if they have lots of severe burns.
But then the thought experiment and the actual experiment that I think would be interesting is if you treated someone early in life with melanotan 2, let's just say, they get a better base tan, they're less susceptible to that UV damage.
Less severe burns, less melanoma.
At what point are you getting a protective effect? So it may be like a, routine vaccine. It's okay. Yep, get your melanotan. Make sure you spend your 5 hours in the sun this week, and that's going to give you a nice space tan for summer, and then you're going to be less likely to get skin cancer later in life,
and less likely to be obese. We should just give it to every child, along with all the other things that we put in them.
Routine.
We'll just move on from that. But a better option for skin pigmentation is if you happen to have an indication otherwise, bremelanotide is PT141, also known as Vyleesi, which is approved for low libido, basically. Mm-hmm. And in conventional medicine, it's only used in females, but it works very well in males. And most of the medications we use are off-label. So we do like using PT141. It can be injected. It can be nasal sprays. It can also be troches. And setmelanotide, which is Imvikri, is even more useful for hyperphagias, especially genetic hyperphagias, especially for kids with genetic hyperphagia predisposition.
1 hour before you want to use it. Oh, that's weird. What is it? What is it? Is that smelling salt? You ever heard of hyphy mud? It's like prison pre-workout. You mix coffee beans and Coca-Cola and you drink it. Like the sugar and it's the caffeine from the instant coffee and you pound that thing. It's like called hyphy mud. No, it's not like that. And it's also not like a check drop where you're going to get this crazy rage and go power lift and freaking rip your face off. In my research in making this, I pulled up this little awesome thing, which is an anecdotal response from somebody. It's amazing stuff. Cialis and Viagra only work on the plumbing, while this stuff hits the libido portion of the brain. Sensitivity and orgasm intensity go through the roof. Best take on an empty stomach or a late food day because it slows down digestion, causing constipation or the opposite. However, with each subsequent use, side effects go down more and more until you don't get them any longer. I notice it typically kicks in within an hour, effects subside, and then it's back even stronger for several hours. Then settles down and the effects last another day or two. Really top-notch stuff. A true sex enhancer, unlike any other. As someone put it, it boosts the penis to the brain connection. For thousands of years, humans sought an aphrodisiac. This is it, and it arrives with a whisper. Also works on women. In fact, it's a prescription drug called Vyleesi for women not turned on by their partners. $1,100 for 4 doses without insurance. So what we've come across here, we've got the ones that fix you. We've got the ones that give you the slight performance-enhancing boost. We've got those that are going to make you leaner, whether it be on a small scale or a large scale. We've got a couple of these ones that are going to...
Is that the qualifying question that we ask? Before we prescribe Vyleesi, say, oh, are you not turned on by your partner?
Or are you after the aphrodisiac that we've been searching for thousands of years? There's lots of aphrodisiacs. Tadalafil and sildenafil actually do increase drive, as does lots of other things. For example,
sunlight, natural sunlight hitting your melanocortin system increases drive.
More AMSH. That is certainly true, but it's a good summary. And maybe I think that was a Reddit comment. Of that,
I think it was from Facebook.
Was it a Facebook comment?
Yeah.
Facebook comment.
I saw a little thumb there. Yeah. So I was like, that's a Facebook thing.
It was a mostly accurate comment. What I would mention for people that are wanting to talk to their their own doctor, and maybe their doctor is us. We'd love to be doctor. We're still taking patients. But what I would mention is nausea is very common. About 10% of people have severe nausea, and a lot of people vomit after taking bromelanotide.
Yeah, significant percent in the clinical trials.
Yep. And flushing, I don't remember the percent, but I'd say anecdotally, at least a third of people the first time they get it, especially if they have any histamine sensitivity or a sensitive skin, flushing is extremely common with any melanocortin receptor agonist.
Yeah. And a lot of times, certainly not with the prescription Vyleesi, but if you have a safe compounded version from a pharmacy, then you can sort of microdose that to assess the tolerance. You don't have to go straight to the recommended dose. You can always start lower. And I think that was a decent theme from the video is even when you're administering these to rats, you do start with a lower dose. You don't want to cause side effects and don't want to use more than you have to. Even from a cost-effectiveness standpoint, if you're getting it from a compounding pharmacy, you should, then you can get more mileage if you happen to be a better responder, even at a lower dose.
Yeah. In general, I thought this video was excellent, much better than I expected. I don't think Andrew is a clinician or scientist of any type. And by the way, we do plan to have one of the scientists from a company that has the melanocortin receptor agonist peptide pipeline at play. We do plan to have one on the podcast at some point. We've talked back and forth for a while, but more on that later. I would say that he has either watched a lot of More Plates, More Dates or a lot of the Gillette Health podcast or educated himself in other ways. So props to him for making a relatively good video. I suppose this is also partly his job. So being good at his job probably motivates him as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great overview. So let us know your experiences in the comments, what you thought was good advice, what you thought was bad advice, if you thought the doses were too high, if you thought the doses were too low. Let us know all those things in the comments, and thank you for watching. May God bless you with health and happiness.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.